Welcome to today's Let's Talk Knoxville. I'm Brian Adams. On today's program, we are joined by Cassie Pearson, superintendent of the Knoxville School District, to discuss special education matters.
Special education plan. The district, of course, has to deal with its share of special ed students. And what sort of issues are you looking at in the dealing with the ones that you have and the ones you could be expecting?
Yeah, in the state of Iowa, every district has to have a special ed delivery plan. And it's actually a great opportunity for the whole team to get together, look at services, and make sure that we are connecting all of the dots for all students. We review this plan annually. We kind of do an overhaul rewrite. It seems like about every 4 or 5 years because of changes in law or changes in best practice and research that we come up with. So the one that Brian McNeil presented last night was a review of the one that was written about a year ago. And in this one, the biggest focus was actually transition planning. As we have found, when kids enter into our system in preschool or kindergarten, and then they transition between our buildings when they go from West to North Star, North Star to middle school to high school, and then from high school into whatever they're going to do next. That is kind of a time period where there is more vulnerability. And sometimes with kids with special needs, that's an uncomfortable time that you really want to make sure things don't fall between the cracks. You're transitioning teachers and schedules and routines and expectations. You're expecting them to mature a little bit over those times and making sure that our system itself has some really strong structures in place for kids is really important. And so we have really looked at defining and developing and implementing, evaluating our transition systems over the last year and feel we have a much better success rate with it, and we'll continue to strengthen that and do what's great for kids and families to make sure that even our students with special needs are very successful in our educational program.
Does it need updating for the benefit of the students as well, apart from keeping up to date on best practices? Is there a need for change just to make sure that the individual students are having their needs met?
And that happens on a very regular basis. They actually, students have what is called an individual education plan, and that is written by a team of people, including their parents and their teachers, sometimes associates and specialists and consultants. And they actually review that plan on an annual basis, and they do a thorough review of it every 3 years. They do weekly progress monitoring to make sure that those goals are moving forward and kids are making progress. And then over time, we really are hoping that kids become so successful with accommodations and interventions that they can graduate out of needing additional services altogether, because they've built their own skill set up, that they've got good mechanisms to be successful on their own. And so that individual aspect, I think, is always ongoing, and the team themselves are working every day to make sure that they're meeting the needs of kids.
On another matter, the Lau plan, it's called because of a lawsuit many years ago requiring districts to provide assistance for English learners, those who don't have English as a first language. In going over the plan, rather interesting, you have a number of non-English students. Not a single one of them is a Spanish-speaking student, which you would think would be the most common, right?
In Iowa right now, it does seem like that's been a trend line, but that is not the case here in Knoxville. We have several different languages that are spoken in homes, and it's quite, every case is unique, which I find really fascinating. The Lau plan, again, is a system that is set up to make sure that kids don't fall between the cracks and they get their needs met immediately when they come. So there is a screener, and actually in part of our registration materials, parents have to mark if English is their home language and if it's a first language or not. If that box isn't checked, then a screener happens. So kids actually go through kind of a small test to see what type of skills they have, both written and spoken for English, and then interventions or programs are put together for them if they need that. We have some students who actually English was not the first language in the home, but they have been around it a lot and they are very proficient. So they could test and find out very quickly that they don't need any additional services. So that's part of our plan as well, is having some good measures in place so that we can be timely with their needs, but that we don't hold up their education if it's something that they're not in need of.
I've heard that younger children pick up on languages faster. Is that the case?
It is the case, and research is pretty clear on that. I think it has to do with how the brain is developing, and their sense of hearing is actually quite acute with younger children. And as we get older, hearing is one of those senses that tends to kind of dissipate a little bit as we get older.
Thanks to Cassie Pearson for joining us on today's program. You can find today's news 24 hours a day at KNIAKRLS.com.